Hey everybody, it's Vayu. Last week on Prison Pals, we went through the woods after escaping Ragon, and we met a really, really annoying kid. And listen, I was already babysitting one child, and I love them, I do. But another small squirt that likes to yell a lot and likes to think he's the smartest one in the room is really, really difficult to deal with. But it's fine. It's fine. We're just gonna keep walking and we'll see what happens.
Where exactly did we leave off?
I remember being called a trash panda multiple times.
That did happen.
I think Holland just separated Gibbs and Garl.
Like, did we go to sleep or did we stop mid-conversation?
We stopped mid-conversation because Ghibli walked away, Garl stuck out his tongue, and then Holland told him to stop, and that's where we stopped.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you know.
I feel like we can assume that after that, we went to sleep.
Can we?
That's good. I'm glad. So assuming that, who's taking watch?
Does anyone not have night vision? Or dark vision?
I don't think any of us do have dark vision.
I have
dark vision.
You do?
I do.
Why? I'm a rock gnome.
Brag about it.
I am a being of light.
Of course I have dark vision.
We are okay. Called the light bringers, bearers, light bearers.
Well, okay.
Do you not have?
I don't have dark vision, and I'm feeling very oppressed right now.
Then Bayou should go first.
Okay. Wait, it's daytime anyway.
Yes, it is daytime.
Your daytime.
You guys walked through the night.
It's gay time.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So
I forgot we were doing it backwards. Okay.
Well, I'm going to take watch first anyway.
Gibbs does not get a watch, I feel like.
Oh, Gibbs doesn't get to watch?
I don't think they do.
That'd probably be best. Gibbs would get too distracted. Can Gibbs stay up with, like, Holland on watch?
That's valid, but Holland will not leave Gibbs up alone. Holland will take second watch.
Yeah, I would say Holland would do second, okay. And then Mello should do third.
Yeah.
And then Gibbs is going to chill with Holland on second watch.
Why is Ghibli doing anything? Ghibli needs a full night's rest.
Well, Gibbs can get a full night's rest.
Holland
though.
Tried to argue that, but lost that one fight, and he decided he was going to pick and choose his battles.
That's fair. That's valid.
Gibbs wants to learn how to be an adult and keep watch.
So, we have Vayu on first watch, my friend.
Yo.
That's
me.
So, I'm gonna have you roll me a perception check.
I can do that. I just have to... Okay.
And to paint the picture a little bit, because that's what I'm supposed to be doing. It's bright and early in the morning. You are in the middle of a forest whose name that you don't know, or at least I don't think... None of you have actually rolled to know what this forest name is, so...
I mean, does it matter to us, really?
It matters to me, the DM, but it doesn't matter to any of y'all, so that's fair.
Hey, can Gibbs roll a nature check to figure out what this forest is called?
Would it be nature?
Didn't we live
or
outside
history?
This forest
yes,
the past 2 years?
Yes, you did.
We should probably know then, shouldn't we?
If you want us to know so bad, let us know.
Fine, it's called Calilee's Forest.
Calilee?
Yep.
Or Calilee.
Like... Calla lilies, but...
Yes,
is
like
it
the flower.
Like plural or possessive?
Possessive.
That's a flower?
Cow lily.
No, not cow lily.
No, calla lily.
This is going to be a total of like 30 minutes of the podcast. So,
anyway,
you guys are in Calilee's forest, and it's a bright and beautiful morning. You can hear a lot of birds singing, and that's when you remember that Vayu Jr.'s at home, and you left him behind.
No! Vayu Jr.!
How sad is that?
I've known this for several episodes. You know why I know this? Because you didn't bring Vayu Jr. with you into the forest for your training with Galvana. You never went home to actually, like, get Vayu Jr. You only got your mom.
Can it just be, like, in the middle
of... but, like, can we just retcon that Vayu Jr. was with me?
So here's my question for you. Do you really want to bring Vayu Jr. on this adventure? Or would you like
him
to have
Vayu
a consistent life of birdseed?
Yeah.
Retcon, I actually have a bunch of birdseed on me too.
So,
can we just retcon that the bird was with me the whole time?
So what happens is that as... Well, warming perception first off.
Fine.
Oh!
It was a nat one.
Starting off this episode right.
You are just... You're in a hot streak these past few episodes. You've just been doing
of nat
so
ones
well.
And nat 20s.
So, with a nat 1, you are hit with this realization that Vayu Jr. is not with you. That you have left Vayu Jr., your one and only son, at home, with no parent to fend for it. And you're overwhelmed during this watch. And I forgot that I need to roll to see if anything bad happens.
The bad thing is that my bird's at home.
You have got to be kidding me.
Oh my god, what happened?
Is it another Garl?
Or is it wolves?
So, Vayu, as you are hit with the realization that Vayu Jr. isn't with you...
Does Vayu Jr. show up?
You hear a twittering as Vayu Jr. lands on your shoulder.
Yes!
What did you roll?
I'm so glad you put that as an option, too.
There was... So, I had a table. I've had a table for, like, all of these rolls that I've done the past few episodes. There was one single option of Vayu Jr. escapes and finds Vayu.
That's so specific.
And it rolled.
It was meant to be.
And I hate it.
I'm so happy. I just went through the five stages of grief. Like, all of them.
What is... One in 20 chance, guys. One in 20 chance.
He's back.
Boys are back in town.
Vayu just cradles their bird and, like, almost cries. And they just, like, hold him and they're like, yes, my son.
So, as you're going through these thoughts of, oh no, my child is at home, your child manifests in front of you. And honestly, I feel like you might have an ego at this point of, like, what else can I summon?
Vayu Jr. is just too good for you.
Vayu Jr. deserves the world. Best bird.
So that's your watch. And
congrats.
Nothing else happens during anyone else's watch, because that was literally just the one role that I had. It determined whose watch something happened into, and it was the first one, and I'm gonna die. I'm legitimately gonna
This is so funny.
I have to cancel the show, guys. I can't do this anymore. This is too much.
That was incredible. Alright, episode over, everyone.
During
Vayu Jr. returns.
Your watches. Is there anything you'd like to talk about or discuss with anyone who's awake? Vayu, I'm not going to let you spend 20 minutes talking to Vayu Jr.
After their watch, they just go right to sleep.
Good. Gibbs and Holland, anything.
Hey, Holland.
Yes, Ghibli.
So what do you do while you're on watch?
You watch for possible attackers, I guess. I don't know. This is the first time for me, too.
Oh, really? I thought you knew everything. Should I climb a tree so I can get a higher advantage point so I can see farther out? Oh, I have my goggles! Wait, those don't really help. It's daytime.
I think we're good how we are right now. I don't think we need you to climb into a tree.
Then do I just sit here on the ground?
Yes, we probably, like, we should find a hobby. Something to do while we're on watch.
Oh, like what? I think I have games or toys.
You're missing one of your die. That one was lost in the prison. Just gonna throw that out there.
I threw both of them, so I probably don't have either.
Well, the other one Vayu has, but Vayu is sleeping.
Oh, I have a deck of cards. I mean, I have a deck of cards. I'm not... Okay, no, but for real, though. Gibbs... If Gibbs gets too bored, then they'll just work on a thing. Actually, no, actually, Gibbs wants to look at the blueprints.
There we go.
Yeah.
That a person. So I was going to remind you that each of you does have something personal. Vayu has the journal of Sachi. I always mix up where the I goes. Gibbs has the blueprints. Holland has a letter from B. Just a reminder from me as your DM.
Apparently I forgot to write that
down.
Hey
guys, I gave you these plot devices. You should check them out.
Apparently I forgot
maybe
to completely write down.
Maybe at some point, or maybe just like...
So yes, Gibbs goes through Holland's stuff to get the blueprint.
I could just hand it to you if you wanted to.
No, Gibbs doesn't ask. They just go and grab it.
But it's not in that pocket. It's in the other pocket.
It's in a pocket?
No,
I
like
assumed
my,
it was in
backpack.
A bag.
Like my pack.
Okay, well then Gibbs will go into the other pocket.
You don't find it. It's gone. It was eaten. No, I'm joking.
Darn it.
So...
My bird took it to use as a nest.
So you... Take out this blueprint and you roll it out on the ground. Roll me an intelligence check with advantage.
That's a 17.
Okay, a 17. Looking at this blueprint, it looks like a telescope. And you know your father, you know how in love he was with telescopes and the sky and seeing the constellations. But there's something different about this one. You can see notes in his handwriting. They don't say that it looks for something. It looks for someone. The notes that he's written says that it would allow someone to peer through the world. That using this telescope, you'd be able to see someone no matter how far they are. You'd be able to be there as if you were right next to them. Looking at this, you can see that in order for this to work properly, you would need something from the person that you want to view it. It's kind of like a scrying item, almost. Like a permanent scrying, no matter how far you are. But without any sort of saving throw or anything, it just works. You can see frustrated notes from your mother saying about how flawed the idea was and how it kept falling apart or it wouldn't last long enough. And you can see little notes from your father back just being like, well, we'll try again. And your mother being like, fine. Almost like they're scribbling little post-it notes to each other back and forth without really communicating in their own workshop. But this is the blueprint that you find.
They're so cute. I love my parents.
That is really cute.
They're adorable.
So yes, you have this blueprint of a telescope now. What would you like to do?
Okay. What kind of materials would I need for this?
It's metal, of course, for the casing. The lenses are made of a specialized crystal that has been carved down and shaped specifically for this material. It says that it would have to be a glowing crystal. And the G in glowing and the C in crystal are capitalized, just so you know.
Oh, so it's like the glowing crystal. Capital G, capital C, yep. TM.
Yes.
Since Gibbs doesn't have the materials to actually like start working on it, I want Gibbs to review the notes to see where their dad messed up and if their mom actually was right. Which she probably was, because she's more of the mechanic in the family anyway.
So roll me an intelligence check, and you can once again use your advantage going over their notes.
That's a non-nat 20.
Non-nat 20. So with a non-nat 20, looking over this thing, you don't think it's a problem with how it worked? Like, you don't think it's a problem with, like, the build of it, because it's just a regular telescope. You think it might be a problem with the enchantments. A permanent scrying spell is something that is very difficult to do, because making a spell permanent in and of itself is difficult to do. But with a non-nat 20, you would know that there are ways to get spells to last longer than normal, longer than should be possible. You especially know this because it's part of what your parents worked on. They did it for the KES Horizon. They were part of the team that developed the crystals that help the ship float.
I love my parents so much. I'm so proud of them.
So you think that they might have eventually figured it out, but they never had a chance to bring it back to these blueprints. Or you might think something else. You tell me what you actually do think, instead of me assuming.
Yeah, so I mean, here's the thing. They figured it out for the KES Horizon, and like the structure is sound, so I don't see why I wouldn't trust that it would work.
So, with that knowledge in tow, what do you do?
There's nothing I can do.
But just in general, like,
we're on watch. I don't wanna wake anyone up to question them yet. Everything seems sound. I don't have the materials, so okay. So I imagine Gibbs like just sitting on the ground like with this in front of them, and so they're just going to like pick it up and then just kind of like scooch over to where Holland is and just say, "Hey, Holland, check this out. Isn't it cool?"
What is this? Is this the blueprints you gave me?
Yeah. It's the one my mom and dad came up with it, and it's this telescope, and it helps you see people.
How complicated does this look to Holland?
Roll me an intelligence check. I'm so glad you asked.
That's a 12.
A 12. Okay. You think that it's not the mechanical part that's complicated. It is the actual enchantment of the crystal. That is the most complex thing about this. The actual, like, casing of the telescope is just meant to contain its power and focus it, but the crystals are where the power actually comes in. It would be something, with your limited knowledge of arcane magic, and by limited I mean very limited, it would take time, and it would take a lot of effort. It's not just a throw-it-together-in-3-second sort of thing. This isn't a 15-minute easy meal for the family. Like, this is a project.
This is interesting. Do you think you'll be able to create this?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, it's going to be a little complicated getting the spell to last the entire time, you know, be permanent. But my parents have done it before. So I think I've watched them enough. I should be able to figure it out. No problem. I just need the materials and I got it.
Well, yeah, I think your handle over the arcane is more than capable of crafting this. If you need any help, I could possibly help you with the casing for it.
I don't know. I don't want anyone to mess it up.
Savage.
Just throwing it out there. If you would like my help, I am here to help.
Well, I guess if you want to put together a couple of the pieces, you can.
Just tell me what you want. I would need metal, though. Do you see these braces I made last night?
Yeah, they're very pretty.
Yeah, I can make those. I can make something pretty quickly now.
Well, if the telescope needs any bracelets, I'll let you know.
What about you? Would you like a bracelet?
Yeah, I would. Can you make me one?
No.
Oh.
I've already used my channel divinity for the day, so I can't. Maybe tomorrow.
Facts.
Okay, that's it.
That's the end.
We'll just end the conversation right there. No. Holland, can you make me one? No.
Would you like to do one? Would you like to do something? Not do one. I don't know what I was saying.
I want to read that letter that B sent me that I forgot about.
I know you forgot about it. I'm aware.
I didn't write it down. I'm a good dude. I didn't write it down at all. Thanks. Love you.
So you open up the letter. Open up the envelope, I mean. And pull out B's letter. The letter says, Holland. It's in her voice.
In that accent. Wait, can we make it? It's a thing where, like, Holland starts reading it out loud and it slowly, like, fades into B's voice.
So the letter says, Holland. I'm going to read this in my own voice just because I don't want to do B's voice for all of this. And I'd like this to not be a trend. Holland, good luck in your future. I hope you find the things that you are meant to do. You always have a home here in the heart and hearth. Look for my friend Serena of the Flame and Malra. Also, stop leaving your crap in the forge. And you can feel that there is something else in this. Well, two things in this pouch.
What's in the pouch? What's in the pouch?
Reaching in, the first thing you pull out is a lit piece of wood, but it's not burning you.
Is it is it the flame that I made?
Yes.
Did she pack it up for me?
It is the flame that you made, and she packed it up with you so you could take it to school and
is
show it off to all
the
other...
It just says, heart you.
That was what the letter was. The second item, though, is a card that says Inferno.
I don't like it.
This is the same card that you had previously burned.
Oh, dear.
And now the two other players understand.
See, I just imagined like a piece of paper that said Inferno. I was like, nice.
I was like, that's cryptic, okay.
What would you like to do?
Burn it!
Okay.
Gosh.
You
want to
throw it in the fire?
Is this going to keep popping up? I always want to throw things in the fire. Non-conflicted.
Good.
I didn't expect it to pop back up again. Holland's... I'm assuming we have like a campfire going around
us.
Yeah,
you do. It's a small one to prevent like people from seeing the smoke column in the middle of the forest, but it's there.
I feel like at this point his watch is coming to an end, so he's getting tired and he's like going to have to wake up Mela soon. But like they just met Mela, so he's like conflicted, so he's going to like take his sword and stab it in the center of the campfire.
Okay.
Extra.
And he's gonna cast Augury.
So, question for you. What is the action that you are considering? Because you already said that you burned it in the fire. You already said that you thrusted it into the fire and then casted Augury.
No, I thrust the sword.
Okay.
The sword is in the fire.
Alright, and then you're casting Augury.
But he's casting Augury. He is wondering if he should trust Mela to let her watch over the party.
So tell me what the spell looks like.
So Holland stabs his sword into the center of the campfire, and the flames kind of like gather immediately to the sword and cling to it, and the script on the side of the sword that is engraved starts to light up and start glowing, the dwarvish inscription that he has on there.
So as these flames begin to travel to your sword and cause these dwarven inscriptions to light up. You watch as the two sides of this sword begin to develop a new inscription. One made of sparks. Those glowing embers that arise from a fire that has been put out. And on one side, in this strange language that you can read that looks like slashes and strange conflicting contorted lines that all lay on top of one another. On one side of the sword, these lines spell out, "Wheel." On the other, they say, "Woe." And as you watch, the side that says "Woe" disappears. But the wheel remains.
He's going to pocket the Inferno card for now. Can I try and transfer my continual flame onto the hilt of my sword? Like to the little handle. So that if it's sitting in upside down, it's like at the top.
At the top of the hilt?
Yes.
I absolutely love that, like aesthetically, so I'm going to say yes. Just because of how incredibly cool that is and how much I love that. So yes, you may transfer that little burning piece of wood and change the fire over to your hilt. And you now have a sword with a little fire on its butt.
And then I'm just gonna draw the sword out of the fire.
Okay, you draw your sword
and go to sleep slash hope Gibbs doesn't question that.
That is the end.
Oh, Gibbs wasn't paying attention.
Thank God.
So you wake up to the smell of cooking meat. Are any of you vegetarian? Is that something we've discussed?
I was actually just thinking that Vayu's vegetarian.
Okay, cool. So you wake up to the smell of cooking meat and some veggies on the side.
I mean, would they know? Or does Vayu just have to go fend for theirself?
Well, I feel like everyone should have the well-rounded meal of meat and veggies anyways. Then Vayu just eats the veggies.
Anyways, continuing onwards, you wake up to see that Mella is cooking some food. From how it looks, you would expect it to be rabbit of some sort. Perhaps the infamous rabbit that Garl could not catch with his berry plot. Garl. You can see that Mel is just sort of stirring the fire. There's enough food for all of you. You all eat in the morning, have a good breakfast, a good meal. Garl is still with you. Malachi is still with you. Everyone looks well rested. But I need one of you to do something for me. Ghibli, I need you to make me a constitution saving throw.
Did Garl do something while Gibbs was sleeping? I don't like that face.
I was about to
say I was just thinking, I was like, oh darn, Gibbs should have pranked Garl while they were on watch. Jeez, okay. Constitution saving throw?
Saving throw, yep.
Wait, okay, so if I have proficiency and a saving throw, I just add... It's your just my proficiency.
Just your proficiency bonus,
right?
Yep.
Okay, that's what. 14?
Okay. With a 14, you wake up in the morning and you feel quite strange. And it's during breakfast that you lose the sensation in the fingertips of your right hand.
That's not a fun prank.
Are they having a heart attack? Yes.
I don't feel so good.
Is it your tummy?
Mr. Stark, I don't feel so good.
His hand slowly starts.
No!
Well.
Wait. Okay. Gibbs is just gonna hold up their hand. What's happening to it, Russ?
Ghibli, your fingertips have turned gray.
Holland!
Yes, Ghibli.
My hand!
What about it? He looks
Look
over his
head. Look at it! I'm holding it up to your face!
Does Collins know what that is?
Roll me a medicine check. I'm going to tell you this is going to be very difficult.
18.
You don't know exactly what it is, but looking at it, you notice that the gray color of Gibbs's hands is very similar to something gray that you've seen previously. Perhaps the gray goo that Ghibli stuck their hands into.
Oh, come. Okay, before. This is. Oh. I literally goo? Have. I was looking at it, I have vial of goo on my character sheet. I was like, maybe I should do something.
The goo
like that.
From the.
The copycat?
Yep.
It's copycat now.
Is it just your. Do you. What does it feel like?
It doesn't feel like anything. I don't know. I don't know what to do.
It can I see that the vial of goo that you got from the copycat?
Sure, but I'm more concerned about my hand.
I'm trying. I don't, Gibbs. I'm not the best of
okay, just
healers.
Take it,
I just
take it,
I'm
it,
trying
take it
to help the best I can. Can Gibbs like can Gibbs can Holland like look at it and like see if he can. Deduce anything further from examining this here goo itself.
Roll me in. Actually, justify me a roll for this one. You were looking at gray goo in a vial.
I feel like it's either. I feel like if it was a nature-based thing, which I don't know / don't think it was, it'd be nature. Or arcana, if it's an arcana-based thing, that's off to you. Or just straight intelligence to be like, is this something that I know?
I'm going to say straight intelligence for this. Just okay. Because from what you've seen, it's nothing you'd really recognize in the sense of like,
yeah.
That's very natural for a creature to just sting me and transform into me, then turn into gray goo.
That's a 16 total.
16 total. Okay. With Arcana and a 16 total, you would know that there's something almost radiating off of this goo. Not in the sense of, like, literal radiation poisoning or anything, but there's some sort of... There's something there. There's something more to just it being there. I need to roll.
Gibbs gets Spidey powers.
Okay. As you're watching this, the goo moves.
Holland like initially reacts but doesn't say anything. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to alarm Gibbs further. Mm-hmm. Gibbs, just calm down. I think you're going to be okay. Just give me a moment, please. Nothing immediately pressing. Vayu, just stay with Gibbs and help them breathe. Malachi, can I speak with you over here in private?
Malachi comes on over and says, what's up? What's up, Holland? How can I help you?
I let Gibbs pet my bird.
What is this goo from the copycat?
Well, to be quite honest, I didn't even know they were goo until y'all ended up killing one. I've never seen one dead before.
So you've never seen. Do you know what's happening to Gibbs? Have you ever seen anything like that?
You mean the gray hand thing, the gray fingers?
Yes. Yes, obviously.
Sometimes it would, and then his cuffs go off in gold coloring.
Are you kidding, Mela?
Yes, Holland. How can I help?
He shows her the goo. He's like, do you know anything about Gibbs's hand, this goo, anything?
Looks. Let me roll an intelligence on this one, actually. Because Mela ain't dumb.
Ooh.
Ooh. Spicy.
She got that spicy brain.
Mela looks at it and says, well, I'd assume it's some sort of defense mechanism, if anything. If this creature truly poisoned Ghibli, then perhaps its remains are important in some way that they shouldn't be tampered with, I guess. That would be my guess, at least, my assumption, from what I've seen.
I doubt that you are much of a healer.
Oh, no, I'm most decidedly not a healer. I'm much more of a butt-kicker.
I've studied in temples, and I've worked with healers, but I am not the most adept of healers myself. I don't want to alarm Gibbs, but I think the only way we're going to be able to help them is to get to Mulra and see if someone there knows what to do.
Holland, as you are saying all of this about getting to Mulra and everything, you notice that the goo in this vial is moving more now, almost as if it has regained some of its former shape, some of its former, I guess, sentience would be the best possible term. But now it seems to be moving actively, and it is now sort of pushing up the walls of this vial and towards the side of the vial that is facing Ghibli.
What if this is a good thing? What if Gibbs actually does get superpowers? Maybe we should just dump all this goo right on top of Gibbs' head.
Absolutely not.
So I hate my dice, because my dice also rolled for this to happen right as you were looking at the vial, because this was supposed to be something really fun that happened when no one was looking.
But guess what?
It's a friend.
It's our son.
It's a transforming friend.
Malachi, do you believe this to be dangerous, whatever is happening? This is freaking me out.
Well, the last time I dealt with one of these creatures, it tried to kill me in the woods for escaping this prison somewhere else, so I'm gonna say it might be a little dangerous, but that's just my opinion, and I might have a pretty good opinion considering that I spent about 4 years with them in a prison, so...
Alright, I don't need all the sass.
I think he needs all the sass.
Well, it's the middle of the morning, and I was kind of enjoying my rabbit, and you called me over, so...
I'm sorry, but my friend is in danger, it seems. Possibly poisoned.
Your friend probably slept on their fingers wrong. That's always possible.
Holland's gonna place the vial on the ground and walk away and guiding bolt it.
Okay.
What have you hurt the goo and it hurts Gibbs?
Well, we're gonna find out, because Holland's gonna destroy this. And he's not gonna consult Gibbs on it.
No! Gibbs wants to keep it!
Nope. This is what you get for playing a child.
So, you don't even have to roll me an attack roll.
No, the goo can move. It can move out.
That is true. The goo can move. So, yes, it can move the vial.
Oh.
Once you put it down. So yeah, I'm actually going to have you make an attack roll, but with advantage, because it's not moving very fast.
Sorry.
Oh no. Did you not hit?
It's a 13. It was a 9 and a 1.
Okay, so it hits. All you needed was like an 8, so you're fine.
Okay.
No big deal.
I'm just saying. The natural 1, I was like, what the heck?
Roll me damage.
12.
Okay. So, you watch as this... What does Guiding Bolt look like again? I always forget, because I'm a bad person.
It's just like a gathering of energy beam bolt. It's generic energy bolt. What do you want from
generic,
me?
So, you fire a generic energy bolt number 3 at this vial, and it strikes this glass vial and shatters it, and also when the smoke clears, you can't see any of the goo left, but you do see glowing shards of glass all over the ground.
Alright,
Ghibli, you hear the shattering of glass, and that is all that, because you're busy with Vayu Jr., but you hear the shattering of glass and see a flash of light.
Well, what's going on? What did you do?
I may have accidentally broken the vial.
What? What about the girl?
And Gibbs is going to run over and see if they can find it anywhere.
Watch out for the broken glass.
Gibbs doesn't watch out for the broken glass.
So then two things.
Gibbs takes 20 damage.
Roll me dexterity. You take 90 d6 in damage. I'm sorry. Gibbs is dead.
Is it just dex or...
Dex check, not saving throw. This isn't doing something else to you. It's just you being stupid.
That's a non-nat 20.
Non-nat 20. Fine. You're fine. The glass is glowing, for gosh sake. Like, you can just hop around it. It's not a big deal. You're fine. Now roll me... investigation. Because you're investigating of the scene of the crime. The murder of the goo creature.
That's a 22.
22.
Sam's doing cute. Really well with my dice.
I'm telling you.
Looking through this little wreckage, you can see all these pieces of broken glass scattered in the dirt and just glowing. But then one of these pieces of glass starts moving. And then, like, some other ones do too.
Gibbs picks them up.
Okay.
Gibbs is going to, like, chase them around like they're little bugs and start picking it up.
So, we are getting very off track with all this, and I love it.
I'm glad you love it.
Roll
as
me...
opposed to hating us. Hating
you know what? Roll me melee attack rolls on these things, because they don't want to be picked up.
Would it really be melee attack?
Yes.
Can it be like...
You're using your hands. It is a melee attack.
Or is it a grapple?
Okay, then roll me a strength check if it's a grapple.
16.
Okay. So you managed to get a majority of these... pieces of glass that are moving, except they're not glass. When you pick them up, they're just the goo stuff in your hands, and it seems like it's fighting to get out of your hands. It doesn't want to be there.
Gibbs is gonna grab another vial from their bag.
Okay.
Shove it in there.
The moment you get close to your bag, the goo goes into a frenzy.
Is it the red orb? Gibbs is gonna hold it closer to the red orb.
So, reaching into your bag, you pull out the red orb, and...
Oh, wait. Just to clarify, the goo is still... It's like, in the vial now, right?
Was in your hands. Priority. It was in your hands, and then it started wriggling.
Okay, first priority... Gibbs is gonna try to put it in a vial.
Okay, so you reach in, you grab a vial, and you put this angry goo into a vial.
Okay, now Gibbs is gonna hold the vial up to the red orb.
You reach into the bag, and you pull out the red orb, and you notice something strange. The red orb is now glowing once again.
Ooh. Okay. Only when it's by the vial? Like, Giz is going to do a thing where, like, they put it close together and farther apart, and...
So, you notice that the orb is just glowing. Just glowing on its own. But the gray goo that you collected from the creature, anytime it gets close to the orb, it begins to, like, writhe and go into a frenzy, trying its best to, like... It's basically slamming itself against the side of this vial so hard that you're, like, having to sort of move it around and, like, anticipate its strikes.
Wait, okay, so it's doing that towards the orb or
towards
away?
The orb.
Okay, I want Gibbs to open the vial, take one little piece of goo, and let it go to the orb.
Roll me a dexterity saving throw.
Oh, no. Okay. It's a 7.
A 7. You uncork the vial, and all the goo comes out. and flies directly onto the orb and begins to form a layer around it. And the orb's glow is visible through this gray goo ooze stuff, but it's getting brighter as you're watching.
Hmm.
What would you like to do?
Gibbs.
Does anybody have a paper and pen?
Gibbs, this is not something we should be experimenting with. This is dangerous.
But I need to write down what's happening.
I need you to back away.
No! Gibbs is going to, like, get closer just to, like... Like, it's they're going to just crouch next to it and just watch what happens.
As you get close... What's your armor class?
My armor class?
Yes.
16.
Okay. As you get very close, the orb runs up to you, like, rolls up
the
to
orb,
you.
The orb grows legs.
Well, the orb rolls up to you and gets right up to your nose, and then a little white spike comes out and pokes you in the nose.
Gibbs does that thing where, like, if you poke a cat's nose and they kind of, like, shake their head and, like, flinch away, that's what Gibbs does.
As you do that, the layer of goo shifts, and suddenly there is a little Gibbs.
A little Gibbs!
Who is holding this orb, looks up at you, and begins to run away.
Wait, when you say little Gibbs... Is it, like, smaller than normal Gibbs?
I mean, like, 4 inches tall size Gibbs.
Holding the
orb? Well, how big's your hand?
I don't know, like, an inch palm, an inch fingers, you know?
An inch is, like, this big.
Yeah.
Gibbs's hand is probably, like...
So let's say that Gibbs's hand is, like, 2 inches?
Yeah. Yeah, from, like, wrist to tip of the finger.
Okay. This thing is about 6 inches tall. And it, once again, it is still holding the orb, because what it looks like is that the orb is a part of its body.
Is it really able to... How big is this orb?
The orb is about only... Because it fits in the palm of your hand, so it's only, like, less than 2 inches
large. I wasn't imagining it fitting in the palm of Gibbs' hand. I was imagining, like,
really big.
Like a crystal ball.
No.
Yeah, and so Gibbs just had to, like, hold on to it, like... That? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that I said it was the palm of the hand. If not, I'm retconning it. Guess what? It's the palm of the hand.
Oh.
Now. Thank you, Ollie. I love you.
On this episode of Sam Forgets Everything.
But to be fair, like, the palm of a hand, like, if you look at your own hand, that's completely different than, like...
Yeah,
because so, like,
this is, like, a bead. Mm-hmm. This is, like a golf ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, a golf ball would be.
A golf ball
it,
is
it,
size.
It looked really cool. Much larger when it was in the creature. But when you actually got it, it was very small.
Okay.
You would guess, / I'm telling you, that the more goo, the brighter it glows.
Holland's gonna try to pick it up and grab it.
Okay. Roll me a dexterity check.
16.
That's a natural 20 for little baby Gibbs.
Bayou, you're in your turn.
Bayou, help me catch this thing.
We're gonna roll initiative then. If we're all gonna try and capture little Gibbs, I need us to roll initiative for this.
I don't want to capture it. I just want to step on it.
You just want to step on it. Okay, roll me an attack.
I will do that.
And yes, you can use your monk stuff for it.
Yeah, that's 13.
13. Well, it hits its armor class. The other thing was a dex check. So uh-huh. You smash it, and roll me damage.
It's 4 damage.
4 damage. You hear a crack and a break.
Nice.
Under your feet.
Oh, did you break the orb?
As the orb is shattered.
Good.
Thank God.
How's the goo?
Gray and formless.
Okay, Gibbs is gonna run over.
Mm-hmm.
No, Gibbs.
But I gotta fix the orb!
No, I grab Gibbs.
No, Gibbs. Gibbs wants the orb.
Gibbs
is gonna fight against that.
Go ahead and roll me contested grapple. So, Holland, you have to roll strength. Ghibli, you may roll strength or dex.
Yeah, I'm gonna roll strength.
I'm gonna roll my minus 7 to strength, please. That doesn't sound like a
So I think Gibbs is grappled.
No, oh, Holland wait. Rolled a 5.
Oh, Gibbs got an 11.
Oh, yay.
Yeah.
So Holland, you like run forward to grab Gibbs. And instead of grabbing Gibbs, you accidentally step on a piece of glass and you're just like, ow! Oof. Just for a
I'm wearing like, boots.
You are wearing a boots. Glass is strong. Let me DM how I want to DM.
This is some super sharp glass.
Yeah, it's like super duper duper sharp. You don't know where Gibbs gets their vials, but you need to start getting vials from there now.
I got you.
I'll link you to my supplier.
Yeah. Okay. And you don't manage to get to Ghibli in time. Gibbs, you're at the pile of goo and the shattered remains of the thingamabob. The orb. That's what it's called. I remember things.
No, it's a thingamabob now.
Gibbs is going to cast mending.
Okay. This doesn't work. You do what you normally do for mending and sort of concentrate on the magical energy that you feel, but nothing happens. This isn't a single tear or crack. This is a shattered item. Mending will not fix this problem.
I ruffle Gibbs's hair and I'm like, sorry, Squirt. I panicked. So I just kind of crushed it. But I'm sure we'll find another one time.
I hope not.
Gibbs just glares at Vayu. For a second, and then turns around to bring their focus back to everything. Is there still goo, and is it moving?
There is still goo, it is not moving.
Alright, well Gibbs is just gonna sadly gather all these broken remains of everything.
So you can start gathering these broken remains. Are you gonna put them back in the vial that you were keeping?
Yeah. Like, the goo's going in the vial, the orb pieces are just
gonna get
thrown in the bag.
Okay.
Not safe, but that's what's happening.
So while you're doing this, roll me a perception check.
19.
So as you were doing this and picking up the pieces of your orb and the goo very solemnly, you hear a voice say, "Heh, is Shrimpy gonna cry now?"
Oh, no. That is not happening right now. Gibbs is gonna stand up and just march over to Garl. Is Garl standing up?
Yes, Garl is standing up.
Gibbs is gonna push him down.
Okay, roll me a contested strength check.
Garl is small, right?
Garl is 3 feet, so they're taller than you are.
2 feet taller.
That's a 17.
So, you turn around after hearing Garl call you Shrimpy, and you just walk up, and you look at him, and how do you do this? Do you just, like, shove? Do you, like, go for a leg sweep? Like, really, really just flavor this for me.
Okay.
Does Gibbs just, like, pistol whip him with a thunder cannon? Like, what does Ghibli do? I'm giving you full reign here because Garl rolled a 2.
I'm trying to think because, like, now you gave me full reign. Now I feel the pressure to make this, like, a big thing. But Gibbs is just a tiny, upset child. So this is, like, a playground fight here. So. Just... yeah, literally, just two hands just forward, pushes him down, and maybe kind of, like, kicks his side once he's down.
Savage.
And just be like, my name is Ghibli, not Shrimpy.
Roll me intimidation check.
Yay.
I'm so proud.
That was a good quip. I want you to roll me an intimidation check with that. You knock this person who's twice your size to the ground, then shout this out them. Tell me how you did.
It's an 18.
An 18. Garl actually, like, seeing you having pushed him to the ground, his eyes go really wide, and he, like, scampers backwards slightly, like the Grudge Girl on her, like, hands and legs, just, like, scampers away from you, and he's a little bit afraid of you now.
Gibbs is just going to stick out their tongue and walk away.
I give Gibbs a high five.
Garl does not stick out his tongue.
Hound is, like, sitting on the ground with his face in his hands, moaning. Like, oh, why? Why do I have to deal with this?
You guys notice that at this point, the fire has been quenched. Everyone has finished breakfast besides Ghibli, who then rushes to finish breakfast. And you all are on the road again. You find out that Garl will be traveling with you, because he is also going to Mulra.
No! No!
You guys get moving. You start making your way to Mulra. It is now night. You can hear the crickets in Kalalee's forest chirping, and you can hear the sounds of night coming to life, whereas when you had first arrived at the campsite, it was all birds chirping and the sound of squirrels, and now you can see that night is settling in. And after this strange experience with this ooze and this red orb, we watch as you guys begin making your way forward. I'm going to roll one thing, and then we'll see what we do next. Who has the lowest dexterity?
Definitely probably me. Yeah, probably. I have a negative one.
It's negative yes. one. Yeah, it's you. Holland, as you are all walking through this forest, you trip on something. Your foot just catches something, uh-huh. and you fall face first into the ground. What would you like to do?
Laugh at him.
Garl doesn't say anything. And Mela and Malachi both look at you a little confused. Mela says, having troubles on your feet? Is walking difficult for you?
I tripped over something.
Mela's a savage.
He's just gonna light his hand up and, like, look around and see if he can...
Okay. In the ground, about a step or two back from where your face landed, there is the corner of something. It looks rounded, like it's made of wood or something, but it seems to be half buried in the ground. It definitely doesn't belong here, though.
What is this? He's gonna, like, look, crawl over to it and try to, like, uncover it a little bit.
So it takes you a little bit digging through the ground and getting this thing out, and you find out that it is a small treasure chest, or at least a small box, and emblazoned on the very top of this box is a symbol of a strange-looking gold coin with a violet-colored bird.
Do I recognize the symbol?
Roll me a history check.
Anyone recognize this symbol?
Hey, does that mean we can all roll?
Yes.
Now? I rolled a 12.
I'm not going to roll for Malachi because he's been lost for 53 years, so he's good.
I mean, how old is it? You said history.
Yeah, it is history.
Oh, history?
For a symbol.
By the way.
Not for a specific box.
I'm not very
sure. No, by the way, this is not your thing. This is not your thing.
Magical nope. alchemical deck. I'm gonna ask every time he made me roll a history check. It's the one thing I remember.
It's the one ability you actually remember for things.
Well, we got a 6.
So six,
I got a 6 too.
A 6.
Hey,
Kyle, what'd you get?
12.
12. With a 12, you recognize this symbol. It's not one that's super well known. It might have been something that you sort of heard in passing, especially from where you came from in Zapal. It might have been mentioned once or twice. This is the symbol of a thieves' guild known as the Violet Raven.
Interesting. I'm going to open it.
Okay. Roll me a dexterity saving throw.
Traps! 7.
7. Ooh, fun.
I'm not good at dex things.
For Holland.
Okay. So, you open this small box. And as you do, you watch as the symbol on top of the box lights up with a bunch of different strange-looking runes, and it explodes.
Well,
you take 20 thunder damage as this sonic blast echoes through this clearing.
I'm good. I'm okay.
What was that?
Okay. What?
What? What happened?
You're just gonna, well, I guess rush over.
Is the chest still intact?
I would say no.
Well, you don't know that.
So, you can see that the lid is still on the chest.
You're kidding me.
I'll give this a try.
20 damage is a lot.
It's okay. Gibbs has 27. Not damage. Health.
Yeah.
Gibbs has 27 damage.
I want Gibbs to try.
Gibbs. Let me back away first.
Yeah, don't stop Gibbs. Just get out of the way.
He's giving up.
Okay. So, Holland backs away, not blacks away. And Ghibli approaches.
What am I rolling?
You aren't rolling anything.
Oh, okay.
I hate. So mean to me. I just tripped over it, and then I went to like, well, I better open it up.
Haha, not dexterous Holland.
you open the chest, this small little itty bitty thing. In this chest, you find about 200 gold pieces, and by about, I mean exactly. You find 2 red potions and 1 green potion, and you find 3 scrolls. Going through the gold pieces, you find one that is different, because it's not a gold piece, it is a golden pin with that image of a purple raven on it.
A pen?
Pin. P-I-N. Like a P-I-N.
Oh, pin. Okay, so is there actually 199 gold pieces and, like, a gold pin?
We'll make it 200 because I'm nice. I'll give you that extra gold piece.
Gibbs, what's in there?
Gibbs tells everybody what there is.
Okay. Everyone now knows what there is. Is there anything you guys want to look at in particular?
I don't care what you do with most of it, as long as it's not dangerous. But I'm not letting you hold on to the money.
Okay.
Vayu, the same goes for you.
I think that you should let me hold on to the money, because I'm quite good with it.
No!
Do you want me to punch you?
Yeah, you should punch him.
Technically, you're
Gibbs, did I ask your opinion?
So, I feel like I have the right to punch you. And Garl walks up to you, and like looks you in the eyes. Punch. And just punches you very gently with a fist.
I grab his fist and squeeze a little bit.
Why are you bullying this 9-year-old, Holland? You're 24.
Because he's a pain in my butt.
What's wrong with you?
I have a Gibbs already. I don't need a Garl.
So the moment you start to squeeze on his hand, you see fear in his eyes, which hardens into anger. I need you to roll me a wisdom saving throw.
15.
So, Garl looks at you and says, "You know, Holland, I don't hate you, but I suggest you get your hand off of me." And you can feel this wave of magic hit you. And, like, you can feel it sort of pulling at the edges of your mind. And then you just sort of push it aside.
Did he just cast Friends on me?
No, he casted Suggestion on you. He burned a 2nd level spell.
Suggestion, dang. Fine, then. So Colin's gonna take the money and hold on to that for the group, because not letting a 10-year-old hold on to it or value.
So who's getting everything? You're taking the money. Who is taking the potions? There's two red ones and one green one.
I don't know. I don't think it's something being like, oh, who gets to have what? It's just, I figured Gibbs would just
hold on to everything.
Throw it in their bag.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, write like, down on your really character sheet then. Someone else holds it.
Yeah, I have it.
Okay. As you guys split up the loot and begin to get moving again, you may not notice it, but Garl sort of stays in the back. He seems to stay away from you all and stay quite quiet. He doesn't really say anything, he's not making any jokes, not doing anything, but he's still there with you. And there's almost a sort of stillness in the forest. And that is where we're going to leave this episode.
Hi friends, this is Ollie. Thank you for listening to an episode number something of Prison Pals.
12?
12 sounds right. Yeah, it is. It's 12. I haven't edited this episode yet. I don't know what happened. But thanks for listening, unless you just skipped to the ending, which would be really weird why you would just like just skip to the end part without listening to the whole episode in between. So I hope you didn't do that and you listened to the whole episode. In which case, I appreciate it. If you would like to hear more of this senseless rambling, you should follow our social media, such as Prison Pals on Twitter. It's Prison, that's what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it Prison Pals Pod? We changed it, right?
It's just Prison Pals.
It's just Prison Pals.
How many times do you put our social media in the descriptions, Ollie?
I just hit copy and paste. I don't read what I'm putting down there. But you can also look at the description where everything is written and linked, I think.
You think you put it there!
Also, oh, we also have a Ko-fi. I like to say coffee. Where you can donate money to us because we're broke. For the most part, it goes to, like, hosting fees and the other various expenses that creating a podcast has. Yeah. Guess what? It costs money to do this. But we do it anyway. Yay! That's all I have for right now. So Sam's gonna take it away with the artist spotlight. Take it away, Sam.
Thank you, Ollie, for that wonderful, long, rambling introduction.
You're welcome.
Anyway, the artist I have for everybody today is the Blood Raptor De La Cruz. Blood Raptor in quotation marks. Sorry. I'm guessing that's not her legal name.
I wish it was.
That would be so cool.
I support it.
Either way, V is a graphic artist and a sculptor, and she specializes in character and creature design. So I was really excited to look into her work, because we haven't had a sculptor yet that I'm aware of. Maybe one of our artists has sculptures, but none that they advertised. So either way, I went and I looked at her work, and it's all really, really well done. It looks so professional. All the creatures she designs are really cute. I don't know if they're meant to be cute, but they're all really cute. So anyway, if you want to reach out to V, she is taking commissions. You can find her at Twitter, at The Blood Raptor. And yeah, so reach out to her, check out her work, commission her, because it's all really cool. And yeah, reach out to us. Tell us what you think. And that's it. Any last words, Ollie?
So thank you all for listening one more time. Be sure to check out V on Twitter, because her stuff is really, really cool. And thanks. Love you. Bye.